Hey, so tonight I'm going to make somewhat of an introductory to the book of Daniel. I'm only going to get through four verses, but to understand the first four verses in Daniel will also give a handle on Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Esther, Ezra, and Nehemiah. All those books kind of rely on some things that I'm going to bring out today to pull them together, and it's a time period that's very misunderstood. And so with that, let's go ahead and turn to Daniel, right in the beginning of Daniel, where it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. So right there, there's a lot to go over just in those few words there. First of all, let me say that Daniel was of the tribe of Judah. I saw there's one thing on you can stream, and I usually can't go sit through those things, but anyway, I sat there for a few minutes, and they said he's of the tribe of Benjamin, which there's nothing to indicate that, although Benjamin and Jerusalem were connected. Those two cities were, connected. And, but he was of the tribe of Judah, because if you look down in verse 3, it says, and the king, spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. And also in, there's one verse in, it's in 2 Chronicles 3:1, which I won't turn to, but, there's a Daniel there that was of the tribe of Judah, which, can also help back that up, that was a name, for Judahites. So, the name Daniel itself, Dan means judge. So judge of God, or as Bollinger says, God my judge. Once he came to, Babylon, his name was changed to Belteshazzar, which means Prince of Bel, which was their way of saying God, Prince of God. But, so yeah, we can say that, it's hard to say, Dan, Judge God. So whichever way you say it, Judge of God or God my judge. But, now, in the third year of Jehoiakim, that phrase right there tells us that that is the beginning of the 70 years of the Babylonian servitude, or Bollinger calls it servitude. It's or captivity, or they were held captive and taken to by force to Babylon, but that indicates, because this was the first time that the first carrying away. Now, if you look on the margin there, Bollinger puts 497, and that's exactly, that exactly coincides with that. As you know, he puts the destruction of the temple at 477, which is 20 years later. So there was a 20-year overlap of the two 70s. This started the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity or servitude. And 20 years later, when the temple was destroyed, the 70 years of desolations began. But, you know, we know that there were four kings after Josiah. Now, I want to, if you want, you can turn with me to page 50. Now, page 60 of the appendices, and you'll see at the bottom of, on the first column at the bottom, you'll see Josiah. He goes down for 31 years. Then you got Jehoahaz, who was not his son, by the way. Jehoahaz was not Josiah's son. Then it goes to Jehoiakim, who was his son. Jehoiakim, who was Jehoiakim's son. But, and I'm bringing that up because some people believe that the line of Christ was interrupted. And that, you know, the Davidic line, somehow they think that it wasn't a pure line from all the way to Christ. But it goes Josiah, Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim, and then in, as you see in Matthew chapter 1, Zerubbabel or Zerubbabel, and then on down to Christ. So, and if, you know, there's more to back that up if anyone wants more info on that, but the, there's so much to cover here, I don't want to say too much about that, but, just to say that, that can't be. That can't be. The line of Christ was complete. He promised David there will always be a man to sit on the throne. I'm talking about his, David's sons and grandsons. So, if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, and that's where we'll see, and I'm going to read verses 10. I'm going to start in verse 10 of Jeremiah 29. It says, For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. So that this is when the beginning of these 70 years we just read. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So, that's the 70 years of the Babylonian, and here he used the word servitude. No, he used the word captivity, I beg your pardon. So, that carried you away captive. So, let's stay with that word captivity. Now in Jeremiah chapter 25, let's just go to that one, because I want to talk about the 70-year desolation real quickly. I don't want to get into it yet, because it's not till later, although Daniel went through this time. But it says in verse, first in Jeremiah 25:1, this is an important verse. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. So remember, we just read the third year of Jehoiakim. It says, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So that's what ties together the foreign kings and the dates of the biblical kings. And Bullinger has an appendix on this very verse. And he talks about how important this verse is. So that's what that has to do with. Now, let me see. Okay, that comes later. I want to just say one thing, though. I'm going to praise Bullinger a lot tonight, but I'm also going to point out things that doesn't make sense to me. Now, in the very end of Second Chronicles, he's got that long note, and it talks about 3 70-year periods. He calls one the servitude, one the captivity, and one the desolations. But the second one here, the captivity, does not make any sense to me. First of all, he gives no scripture showing that that has a 70-year period. And what I'm calling the captivity, you know, he's calling the servitude. But in any case, here's the thing. Here we just saw the first carrying away in Daniel chapter 1. Well, about 6 years later, there was a second carrying away, and that's what he's referring to here, of what he calls the captivity. But think about it. In 70 years in the forward, are they going to say, now wait a minute, you were with the second group, you've got to wait 6 more years before you can go back? No, that was part of the same 70-year period. There was one 70-year period that had to do with Babylon. And anyway, I just wanted to point that out, but I'm also going to bring up a couple of points here, how that Bullinger was one of the greatest historians ever to live, in my mind, because of something we'll get to in a few minutes here. But I want to be as careful as possible about these datings. And, you know, Usher put the destruction of the temple way back to 587. You know, Bullinger puts it at 477, 110 years later. And, you know, I kind of went through that once, but Bullinger had 55 years to get rid of when he said that Abraham's father Terah was 130 years old when he had him. Usher, on the other hand, had to take all kinds of liberties, you know, to get rid of a lot of years to date it way back there. And I went through a couple of times Daniel chapter 9 where I believe it ties together the 70 years to right there in Daniel 9 where, Daniel 9, 1 and 2 specifically, it ties the destruction of the temple, then 70 years complete, then it takes you to 520. The 520 rather is the destruction of the temple. 70 years later would be 450. And as you know, if we do the 70 weeks, it takes you back to 450. Or on that calendar, 454. Since they're saying the calendar is off 4 years. In any case, I want to be careful about these years. But, and we're gonna see here in a bit why this is important to understand this part of it. I'm actually going to skip ahead here. I said we're going to cover three verses here, but But let's go ahead and read. I just go ahead and read the first three verses again in Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar. Shinar is a vast area there, a low-lying area that was watered by the Euphrates and the Tigris. It's a huge area. But which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels unto the treasure, into the treasure house of his God. So now with that verse, I want to skip up to Daniel chapter 5 and verse 24. I'm going to read verses 24 through 31. And you can remember this. Actually, I'm going to first read to you to get you situated here in verses 1, 2, and 3 of Daniel 5. Belshazzar, the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. That was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar. While he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father, here it says father in the note, you'll see grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and concubines, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. But remember what happened. Let's go all the way down to verse, 24. Yeah, let's start in verse 24. It says, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is where we see the writing on the wall, where, the kingdom will be ripped apart from you. And it says, down in verse 29, then commanded Belshazzar, and they closed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler of the country. There's three times in Daniel where he's promoted to such high position, and this is one of them. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now, this is where I'd like to say that Bullinger was a great historian. One person in 1,000 do not know this truth. But if you turn to Appendix 57, it's on page 81. And if you look about in the middle of that chart, look at all of the titles, and we just read here the name, Darius the Median. Look at all of these appellatives of who this man was. First of all, he was Ahasuerus of Esther. So this man at 62 years old was the husband of Esther. So without this knowledge, we could never date the book of Esther. So you also see Artaxerxes, in Ezra Nehemiah, and also Darius the Median that we just read, but you also see it in Esther 2:17. But the world has it backward. They say Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. It's actually Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra. That's the order that chronologically those events took place. Esther, that's how you can date Esther. Just take it back, you know, whatever how old he was when he married Esther there in that book, you know. And I do have some charts to go along with this study, but I don't have it for this week. But just remember that there, by necessity, I have to use my own dates on it rather than Bullinger's, and you can decide, you know, how to, you know, use his. A lot of the things that like Bullinger says that he thought that Daniel was 17 at this time, there in chapter 1. I personally think he was 14, but to even know that he thought he was 17, you have to do some adding and subtracting to some of the dates in some of his notes. But I'll get to that in a minute, though, about the age. But that's why I'd like to say, without this knowledge, that this one man here, this man, you know, was those different people, we wouldn't have a clue about, you know. And then furthermore, he brought out the truth, you know, at 454 BC concerning those appellatives, which we've been over to some degree in the past. But that was my cat. But the verse I just read in 1:2 talked about moving the vessels and all that. Then we saw what the conclusion of that was. So now we go back to, actually, I'm going to keep going here. Daniel's chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage." And then verse 3, "Then Daniel was preferred above all, above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." So here's another place where he's promoted. And I won't get into it this week, but Daniel chapter, I think it's 2, where, you know, he told Nebuchadnezzar of what his dream was, and then he was promoted there also. But I want to also read here verse 10 in Daniel chapter 6. It says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and he did as he did aforetime." So what this is talking about, if we would have read those verses there, is those others conspired against him. They were envious of his high position, and they told the king, Darius, set a statute that everyone for the next 30 or whatever 30 days have to only worship you and so forth. Well, Daniel was having none of it. He was already 84 at this time, by the way, down here in 6. Daniel lived to be very, very old. And what I'd like to say about this, though, is that he prayed toward Jerusalem. And in 2 Chronicles 6:36-39, I'm going to read that. But this is Solomon, after the completion of the temple. Solomon gave a discourse, had 10 points in the discourse. But in it starts in verse 14, of which I'll just read that and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. That's how he started out this dedication of the temple, and many people were there listening. But when we get all the way down to verse 36, this point, I think it's point 9 actually, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off and near, or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. So that's what Daniel was doing when it says he prayed in verse 10 of chapter 6. It says, toward Jerusalem. And so he was about 700 miles east of Jerusalem. And so he would have been pointing west. He would have been pointing west towards Jerusalem. And it's interesting to note that he knew the writings of Jeremiah, who was in Jerusalem. And that far away, somehow they got the message across. Maybe carrier pigeons or you know, camels would take about 30 days to carry that distance. But so I wanted to read that verse, and then because I'm kind of doing an overall thing here, just as much as possible anyway. But we saw his high position. Now in chapter 6, this has to do with when he was thrown into the lion's den. And, I won't go into that at this study, but I will go all the way down to verse 28. Where it says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So, depending how you date Cyrus, he could have actually been 120 years old. I think rather he was about 106. At that time, once he knew of him. But so this, and Ezekiel knew who he was. Ezekiel knew who Daniel was. We go to Ezekiel 14:14. It says, and I'll let's see, yeah, 14:14. I would like to start in verse 12. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. So we can see here that they weren't in the same location though, but he knew Daniel, and Daniel was let's see, I think, is this the note here? Yeah, there's No, this isn't the note I'm thinking of. But, and down in verse 20, also we have the same thing. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they will only save their own righteousness, but themselves by their righteousness. But we also have in chapter 28, which most of you are familiar with, which is the king of Tyrus, who is a type of Satan, because the city of Tyre was right there on the coast, and all of the merchandise of the Mediterranean Sea came through that city, and then it was delivered throughout the land of Israel. And Tyrus really thought he was on top of the world. But in chapter 28, I'll read the first three verses. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, behold, thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. I had to check that in case that was Chico calling me to tell me I'm disconnected. Okay, so behold, thy heart is lifted up, verse 2, and thou hast said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. In your own mind you are, and there, Bullinger's notice to that effect, there is no secret that they can hide from thee. So look how great Daniel already was in the land of Babylon, that he was considered, in verses like that. So that gives you an idea of the three, those were the three prophets who were contemporaneous with each other. And we can see, which one came first and which one came second. Actually, Ezekiel was carried over in the second dispersion from Jerusalem. But we also know in chapter 9 that of Jeremiah that he knew of the writings of Jeremiah. So that gives you an idea of kind of the dates, but it will help to have a chart. Let me say something about charts though. To understand someone else's chart, all of you guys who are engineers or are engineers, when I first started in engineering, we had a lot of charts, and it basically knowledge put together in a succinct place. But to understand them, you had to break them down and know each component of that chart. For example, there's a X axis and a Y axis in many of them. And you had to know what those components were. And I'm saying this because I encourage anyone to make their own charts of dates of how you think it is. And then it will become much better in your own memory, and you'll understand them much more. To understand someone else's charts, you have to break down the components. And in a timeline, basically there's time and dates. There's that main line there, but there's also overlapping periods. And we have this period of time we're talking about right now has overlapping periods in it. But to put it all together, it is good to see a timeline of this, of all these things we're saying here. So, okay, let's see. Now we go down to, we just read We just read Daniel chapter 6, and we read that last verse there, which verse 28, talking about Cyrus. I'm saying he was around 105 or 106, Daniel was. In the first year of Belshazzar, though, in chapter 7 and verse 1, I just want to point out this part here. Because the first six chapters of Daniel are historical. And chapter 7 here starts the prophetic chapters. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dreams and told the sum of the matters. So, we just read that verse just to say this has to do with the future prophecy of the different nations that were to come. He talked, you know, compared it to a lion and to other beasts, which has to come at his future lesson. But the thing I'd like to point out is that, for the most part anyway, this is the dividing line of where it starts, the chronology part of it, and now it goes back and looks at it prophetically. Now, there is one exception, and that is where he interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, because that also had to do with future kings. So even though that was historic, it was also prophetic there in chapter 2. So we have those, we have that division there. All right, now back to Daniel chapter 1. And I've read two verses. Now I'm going to read the third verse. It says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. So I read a book. Well, I had a book once, actually by an Acts 13 teacher named DeHaan, and he claimed that yes, in fact, Daniel was a eunuch. Now, I even accepted it, because here's why he said it. And in a minute, I'm going to show you why I don't believe it. But in, let's see, in 2 Kings chapter 20, it says, and this whole chapter here has to do with, verse 1, for example, in the days of in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for you're going to die. Well, Daniel prayed about it and wept. And God said, all right, I'm going to give you 15 more years. Well, Hezekiah said, what sign do I have to confirm this? And in verse 8, and Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah said, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. But let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. So that's the date that the calendars went from 360 days a year to 365. And it was such an amazing thing that the people of Babylon came over, because they wanted to know and visit this Hezekiah fellow. And down in verse, let's go to verse 16. Well, and so, yeah, so Isaiah told him, because, you know, Isaiah brought these people into the house and showed them everything that there was to show them. You know, maybe he was proud of it, you know, I don't know. Maybe he, maybe was a little bit too much into himself to actually show them all of these things. So I'm hurrying through this so I can get back into Daniel, but that's this story in chapter 20. But once we get down to verse 16, it says, "And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy sons, they shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." So this is the verse he used to say, yeah, Daniel was a eunuch, you know, because of all of these things that took place in here in chapter 20, and that this is the prophecy that's going to happen to you, Hezekiah, that your sons are going to be carried away, and they will in fact be eunuchs. So it sounded okay to me at the time, but then let's read verse 4 of Daniel chapter 1. "So children in whom was no blemish." Now, it seems to me if you were a eunuch, there would be a blemish there. So this one verse, in my mind anyway, trumps all other arguments. And I looked it up. There really isn't that much on it. A few opinions here and there about it. I'm even guilty of saying it to a couple of people that, well, you know, he was a eunuch after I'd read that book of Beyond. So anyway, I corrected myself later. "Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skilled in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." Now, if we kept reading here in chapter 1, we would read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and which we won't do in this study, but that's as far as we're going to get, really, is those four verses. However, I will say that I want to say one other thing about Daniel. The name Daniel occurs about 65 times in the book itself. Other than that, there's not too many others. I mentioned the one in Second Chronicles that talks about a Daniel. Ezra and Nehemiah both of them has a Daniel in it. And very few people believes it could be the same Daniel, but it is possible, but he would be quite old, 120-ish, if that was the same one. But I do want to say this about there's two other places the word occurs, and that's in the New Testament, which the Lord himself said, and I'll turn to Matthew 24:15. It's also in Mark 13:14, but it says about the same thing. And here Christ himself, Christ Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior, said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, and so on and so on. That's the, when Christ quoted Daniel, he talked about the abomination of desolation. And I do want to turn to that in Daniel. You'll find that in Daniel 12:11. And so that at least I've read the first four verses and the last three verses of Daniel. Let's turn to, that real quick. I can get to it. Daniel chapter 12, and it says in verse 11, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, or about 3.5 years. And then there's another mention here of 35 more days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. 305 and 30. Well, that would be 45 days, wouldn't it? 1290 and 13. Okay. So I added that wrong. But anyway, this is what concludes the book. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So that's the end of the prophecy portion of the book of Daniel. And Oscar used to say that Revelation is a continuation of Daniel, you know, in that it also was written to the Jews. He used to say, man, so many people want to read this book of Revelation. They want to open other people's mail. And that's how he would refer to it, because it really isn't written to us, although we take verses like, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, you know, he can enter in and sup with me and so forth. So we use that as a salvation verse to this day. But and the Lord can use anything like that, though. But I guess what I wanted to bring up mostly today, though, was just seeing the years that pass by and how that it ties together with those other books, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and to make it work, you need those 70 years from 2 Chronicles 36:21. You need, that's the beginning of the desolations, and it comes all the way down to 450, which starts the first seven weeks of Daniel 9:25. So, and again, I can show you that on a chart, and then you can do what you want with it. But to understand Daniel, this is the hardest part of the lesson to understand. If you can understand the years that go around it like that. The rest will go a lot faster. You know, like the whole first chapter of Daniel can be covered fairly easy. And even the second chapter. And once we get into the prophecies, though, there's a certain amount of study that has to go and that gets involved there also. But that will conclude the message for tonight. And with that, I'll close in a word of prayer. Thank you, our gracious Heavenly Father, for these words that you've given us, this great book that we have to learn about you, and to listen to you, to walk our lives accordingly. Thank you for each one tonight that's here. We pray that you will bless each one, put them under your care, and walk with us as a group. Bless us that we might be used by you, that we are nothing of ourselves, Lord, We thank you for what you do through our meek and lowly bodies. Amen. Thank you for your graciousness towards us. These things we pray in your great name. Amen.